You've heard the word of the Lord from our second reading. Why they wanted to start with 7b goes to the punctuation in the Greek New Testament, which took a little bit to look at. But remember, the oldest Greek witnesses that we have, the oldest Greek texts, are all capitals. No punctuation. You can't tell where one sentence begins or ends. I can't even read that kind of Greek. It's just too hard. They get to the end of the line. If they haven't finished the word, if they've run out of letter spaces, then they just carry the word to the next line and go on. That's just the way it was written originally. So we all kind of need the punctuation, and it's just one of those things. This is how the King James, the EHV, followed that too, to just take all of 7 like this. Hear those verses again, and you'll see this is from your worship folder. Therefore, to keep me from becoming arrogant due to the extraordinary nature of these revelations, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, so that I would not become arrogant. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that he would take it away from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will be glad to boast all the more in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may shelter me. That is why I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord, we pray. I am trusting you for power. You can never fail. Words which you yourself shall give me must prevail. Amen. So I was a little shocked yesterday to look at the discovery table just outside the doors there, because there were so many copies left of Forward in Christ. This is February. This just arrived, so this is kind of understandable. But January, hidden kind of behind the Wells annual report, I thought there were more copies of that. There were, a January edition. You've got to read that. And then Meditations Day by Day. I realize everybody's busy, but some of you are kind enough to share with me what you read on the internet that's taking up so much of your time. Frankly, boldly, a lot of that's a waste of time. You could give up half of that and be much richer in your faith and your life reading Forward in Christ. Grabbed a copy of this yesterday and couldn't put it down, because there were so many examples in there of power and weakness. How the Lord turns the curse around and makes it a blessing to boast about. We'll share today. But that's my encouragement. Do some reading that really does you some good. And please don't come and tell me some Bible thing that you learned on the internet that is, so awesome. Because it's probably wrong. And they go off on this stuff all the time, and it's just garbage. Thus says the Lord. Not, this is my opinion, or this is what I think. Thus says the Lord. That's worth power and weakness. And that's worth seeing a curse reversed. So, article that takes me back to 2010, second trip to China. Pastor I've known since my vicar year wrote this one. It's in that continuing article series called My Christian Life. A cancer survivor shares grace truths he learned through the years, truths he continues to lean on. His first trip to China was my second trip, so I felt like a veteran helping him out. 2010, a school outside of a major city where the students were so eager to learn. Some of the sweetest people you ever want to know would be Christians that have confessed their faith openly and are living under persecution, and there's a price to be paid, like those students in China. Amazing. And I'm telling you, after a week, and it was time for us to go, and the students all line up in the courtyard of the school, and one has got his guitar, and the whole student body is singing Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you, I was fighting tears. That was before I knew what would happen not too long after that, when the communist government would declare the whole country a non-religious zone again and start going after Christians. They were still trying to be open then, but I was thinking, I'm never going to see these students again. Now when I pray about them, I pray about them possibly being in prison or worse for their faith. Jim Aderman has written many times for Forward in Christ, and he started to get cancer during my time of service on the 316 Now board, but he's not done with it. The article just in the headings, My Gracious Father, Not Cancer, Controls My Life. See the curse reversed? Just in the titles. Cancer gives me more reasons to praise my Father. Cancer enhances my ability to live as God's child. My time on earth is limited, yet impactful. I'm a cancer survivor. He looks back on these years since he was first diagnosed, and it's been in remission, but he has to keep going in for checkups. And every time he's waiting for the results of tests, the mind starts running wild and the fears start coming back. And that forces him back into the word of the Lord, to his heavenly Father once again, and gives him opportunity then to share with doctors and nurses and technicians and so forth. Last paragraph, I'm a cancer survivor. I would have preferred a different way forward, one without cancer threats. My Father has a better route. His route keeps the risk of cancer as my traveling companion. Much better, his route includes his goodness and love that will follow me all the days of my life. And on just the right day, his route will bring me to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Curse reversed. And it's a lot easier for me to stand here in the pulpit and tell these things to you than it is for me to face my own questions and fears. But isn't it true for all of us? How the Lord takes those times and turns things upside down, because as he told his disciples, it's different now. Worldliness has a whole different criteria. Next time around is forever, and forever with the Lord. And that is surely the joy of it. And it was for the Apostle Paul. It's what he's writing about in our sermon text from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he says, I was given a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what that was. But he says it at the beginning of this verse, and at the end of the verse, it was to keep me from becoming arrogant. Scholars try to guess. I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit doesn't always tell us the answer to all of our questions, because this makes it apply to more people. You have a thorn in the flesh. I have a thorn in the flesh. We all have something that we've prayed about that we'd really like to be done with, as Paul prayed about this. Don't know what it was. Maybe a sickness that kept coming back. Running sores in his eyes, they guess. We don't know. But some problem that you can't solve, some situation you can't control, some temptation that just keeps coming back, guilt you can't escape, What's your thorn in the flesh? You plead with the Lord to take it away, but it was sent as a messenger of Satan to torment me. God allows it. Read the book of Job, right? And yet all things work together for good to them that love God. Somehow, the curse is reversed. His power comes through in the weakness. And three times pleading with the Lord, even the Apostle Paul had to get this answer. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This comes out most clearly, I believe, in our hymns. And if you're not familiar with all the titles I'm going to mention here with two hymn writers, buy one of these blue hymnals from the publishing house and start looking up these names and use that hymnal for your devotions. Because there's a skill in hymn writing that reduces it down to just a few words and said in such a way, especially if you can get the music, but even without, it's lyrical and it sticks in your mind and heart. The Holy Spirit keeps bringing it back. Well worth your time. That opening hymn is new to our new blue hymnal, wasn't in old red. John Fawcett. But you know him by a different hymn. Question. Questions all about his life. Why did John Fawcett have to be orphaned at 2 years old? Why grow up to be a pastor in a very poor town in England where the shepherds and the farmers, mostly in that congregation, could barely support him? Health problems too. Why? Why does the Lord allow that for a faithful servant who finally looks like he has a way out? An opportunity to go to a large church in London that can actually take care of him and his large family. You couldn't blame him. But why the anxiety has to go that far? That he's got all the wagons loaded, back in the 1800s, all the wagons loaded, one box yet to retrieve from the house. He goes back inside and sits down in the box. Pretty soon his wife comes in. John, I just feel like we're making a mistake. You know, I've been feeling that way too. I feel like I rushed this decision and maybe really didn't take it to the Lord in prayer. He just wanted to take care of his family, you know. John, will we ever find a group of people that will work so hard with us for the Lord? The people have been crying before in sadness when they went out and started to unload the wagons. The shepherds and the farmers, tears of joy. And not long after that, the hymn that you know better. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. But from that curse, the pain, comes the reverse and a blessing, because that became the hymn that the missionaries would sing on the docks as the ships were ready to leave their families behind, never to see them again this side of eternity. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Happens over and over again. Happened to Paul, happened to Jeremiah in that first reading. It's what Jesus said would happen to all of us. He turns that curse reverse into a blessing so that all of us can hear the Lord saying, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will be glad to boast all the more about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may shelter me. That's actually a New English translation. The power of Christ may shelter me. It's good with the Greek because it's that same word, skeno'o, where it says John 1:14, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It literally says tented among us. And in Revelation, when it's described our time with the Lord, same word. We will be tenting with the Lord like a national, international, all the nations, on vacation, camping out with the Lord in celebration forever in heaven. But no storms, no bugs, none of that stuff. Good camping, the best of the best, all right? Work will be like putting your boat in the water. Lots of work, but could you really call that a job? You know what I'm saying. Serving the Lord in heaven. Awesome times. That's what we're looking forward to. Skeno'o, and he says, Christ may shelter me, and it does. So I delight because he shelters me in my weakness. I delight in insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties, but for the sake of Christ. We all know people, maybe we've been in that too, where some difficulty was because of what I said or did that wasn't my place, out of turn, wrong time, whatever the case may be. But for the sake of Christ, those we delight in, because whenever I am weak, then I am strong. About 5 years ago, at the Wells Conference on Leadership, National Conference on Leadership, there was a presenter there somebody told me about, so I had to go and listen to this talk. He worked as an undertaker, an undercover narcotics detective, and a homicide investigator, and then 15 years before that conference became a pastor in the Wisconsin Synod. Now that's interesting, right? Background stories. How do those curses get turned into blessings? Well, pastor in Florida now, but his life and his story about God reaching through all of this with power and weakness, reversing the curse, that became a movie. A movie by a name that keeps popping up with the CDs about Jesus. We've got them back on the discovery table there for the taking. Please take them, give them away. We'll stock them with more. Great way to witness if they can find somebody with a CD player still, but you know. Steve Zambo, a student in campus ministry, my senior vicar year, back in 1983-84, he started his own movie company called Salty Earth. I've seen other titles and didn't realize that was his. It's all about that you are the salt of the earth and spreading the word throughout the world using movies. And this one's called One by One. Because we tend to think in worldly ways. You know, bigger is better. Lord says no. When the crowd started to increase, he'd tell his disciples, let's go to other towns. I was sent to preach to all of Galilee. Leave the crowds behind. Don't despise the little things. So they'd leave. I believe it was a few weeks ago when Pastor Gavrish was preaching, he was mentioning how Jesus could have healed everybody in the crowd all at once. Remember that? But you watch Jesus closely, and it's one by one. He's touching them, and as Luke just told us today, they were all touching him. And the disciples had to have been excited about his popularity. And he comes out with that. Well, One by One is kind of one of those movies where you see the Lord working, but I don't have time to tell you more about that. I want to tell you about another hymn writer. Because they're all illustrating Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul, because my power is made perfect in weakness and rejoicing in the insults and the trouble. Now just step back a second and try to think like a modern intellectual, all stuck in humanism and rationalism and so forth. Does this make sense that a group of intelligent people would sing, I am trusting you, Lord Jesus, trusting only you, trusting you for full salvation, free and true? This was back in the 90s. There was a woman in Shoreview reading me the Riot Act on the phone about trusting in a little baby. It was about Christmas time. I had to tell her he's not a baby anymore. He's God's eternal son. He's grown. He's ascended into heaven. He's coming back in judgment. She didn't want to hear that. But that's what you get. We believe in science. We believe love is love. And we're not going to take our yard sign down until, I don't know, earthquake or a fire or something, but it's staying up, you know. You're mocked for that. Who wrote those words? Well, it says Francis Havergal. This needed some notes. You're more familiar not only with "I am trusting you, Lord Jesus," but "O Savior, precious Savior, take my life and let it be. Lord, speak to us that we may speak. Now the light has gone away." Her father was also a pastor and a poet. She was the youngest of 6 children. Happy family. She used to sit on her dad's lap. I don't know if this would always, but they called her the sweet, quote, fairy with her golden curls. Her dad called her little Quicksilver, because by the time she was 3, Frances Havergal could read easy books, was reading from the Bible at age 4. By age 20, she could repeat from memory the 4 Gospels, the Epistles, Revelation, all the Psalms, Isaiah, and the Minor Prophets. I have some work to do. She studied French, German, Italian, Latin, and Greek and Hebrew. Wealth and fame, you'd expect it, wouldn't you? No. All her life, like her father, Frances Havergal struggled with poor health. At age 42, a doctor told her she had little time to live. And this is what she said: "If I am really going, it is too good to be true." She had had her epiphany moments. She wrote about them. She talked about how she would be praying while she was writing her verses, and she'd say a prayer, write a line, thank the Lord for it, say another prayer, write another line. Hard to imagine writing it, but that's what she did. On her tombstone, a favorite passage she kept in front of herself all her life from 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin." Isn't that what was so impressive to the former persecutor? Saul of Tarsus turned into Paul, the missionary to the Gentiles. Grace? Wow. Talk about grace. The most unlikely missionary, and he's it. After the Lord forgave him and convinced him that Jesus is not an imposter, but really is risen Lord and Savior. No mountain too high, no journey too long. Thousands and thousands of miles to take the gospel out under all sorts of persecutions. And then he's got the Corinthians that still want to criticize him for not showing up when supposedly he said he was going to be there. We'll be coming to that in Bible class in 2 Corinthians. We're in 1 Corinthians right now. Amazing. They couldn't call on the phone. They could only walk or take a ship. I don't ever remember it saying in Acts that he ever rode a donkey or anything. That was his life. And they criticized. "But my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul says, "Well, then I'm going to boast about my weaknesses, because this is where Christ's power rests on me. And I can let God be God and let him have the glory." This was new to me. You know, "To God be the glory, great things he has done, and take my life," and or "take the world and let me give me Jesus, take the world and give me Jesus." Those were in the red hymnal. We love to sing them still. That was a blind poet. I've told you about her before. Little baby, had a cold. Doctor puts mustard poultices on her eyes. She's blind the rest of her life. Sad story. Fanny Crosby. Over in America, 17 years younger than Frances Havergal. They never met, but they wrote. I want to just share with you one poem that, from England, Frances wrote to the blind poet, keep that in mind, blind poet Fanny Crosby, across the Atlantic in America, boasting about Jesus and his love. That's called praising God, right? Boasting about Jesus and his love. This is what she wrote. "Dear blind sister, over the sea, an English heart goes forth to thee. We are linked by a cable of faith and song, flashing bright sympathy swift along, one in the east and one in the west, singing for him whom our souls love best, singing for Jesus, telling his love all the way to our home above, where the severing sea with its restless tide never shall hinder and never divide. Sister, what shall our meeting soon be, when our hearts shall sing and our eyes shall see? And they see now with the saints and the angels, as you and I, out of the curse reversed and the boasting in Christ of these blessings, power and weakness, we'll sing with saints and angels the eternal hallelujah. And the blessed grace forevermore. Amen.